it's a big club, and you ain't in it.
Gentlemen, this is Democracy Manifest.
And you ain't in it. It's a big club, and you ain't in it. You and I are not in the big club. And by the way, it's the same big club they used to beat you over the head with all day long when they tell you what to believe. All day long, beating you over the head in their media, telling you what to believe, what to think, and what to buy. The table is tilted, folks. The game is rigged, and nobody seems to notice. Nobody seems to care. Good, honest, hardworking people, white collar, blue collar, doesn't matter what color shirt you have on. Good, honest, hardworking people continue. These are people of modest means. Continue to elect.
Thank you. Stay tuned. This is the second hour of the Red Pill Hardcore. Sorry about the break there, technical difficulties. But anyhow, we it seems like there's just these odd breaks sometimes, especially when I'm trying to promote stuff. Yeah, TLBTalk.com, guys. TLBTalk.com. Those are our sponsors. I know I went on to the Vinnie Eastwood show today. And talked about Ukraine because, of course, Vinnie Eastwood wanted to have me as the expert on that. So I'm so close to the action. A lot of people have wanted me to come on to the show. And talk about that. And, you know, Vinnie Eastwood, he's usually on top of stuff. He said he didn't want to go through any of the information. He wanted to wait till, you know, most of the stuff happened and most of the real information was out. And he wanted to go to a real source, which, you know, of course, was me. So, he's usually, like, really just spearheading stuff. I remember when he was covering the Christchurch false flag shooting. I mean, he talked to everybody on that, and YouTube persecuted and crucified him for it. He even had me on the show, because you guys know what I know as far as these false flag shootings are concerned. And, yeah, his own government came and pretty much told him to shut up about it. So, anyhow, if you want to go there to, I guess, I'm not quite sure his actual website name, but just look up Vinnie Eastwood. Pretty sure you'll find his website and the show I did with him earlier today. Yeah. You know, this is where it's at, guys. We're going to be all over, everywhere. We're growing. Going to reach the younger crowd. I know a lot of you guys are in the older. I got the older demographic here. I want you guys to be using your technology, all right? If you got a computer, don't have a computer, go get a computer. Download the plug-in from the site. You can listen to the show that way. Instead of having to hold a microwave device cell phone up to your head, you know, I wouldn't want anybody to be having a cell phone up to their head for longer than 30 seconds. It's definitely not recommended. So if you are listening through your cell phones, please use earplugs or earbuds rather. So you can listen into the show. That's right. Getting the information out there. Hopefully we'll go RF pretty soon. That's right, radio frequency. So we can cover all of Austin. I can't wait to work on that project. Get some other relay stations and spread across the whole United States. Yeah. Till we talk. RVN. This is where the fight starts, guys. It's where the fight starts. So, we're going to get back to the phone lines. So, we'll go to California, line one. Go ahead.
Hello, hello. Is that me?
That's you.
Oh, happy day. How you doing? I haven't heard how you were today, V, except for your teeth, man. That's what made me call as soon as I heard that. Am I coming over okay? I got you on speaker on my phone.
Yeah.
You want me to take it off?
Yeah. Well, it'd be better if you talk direct. But yeah.
We'll be that way.
It's something I've been dealing with.
This thing to my ear. I got to get some of that poison. You know, you got to get used to this. You got to slowly get used to all the frequencies that they're pounding us with. All the different poisons. Yeah. And that's something that's not mentioned enough is the frequency poison.
But it is a form of toxicity, for sure.
Oh, yeah. I mean, what did Tesla say? Nikola, the great man. once man realizes frequency, vibration, and energy, it will change his whole dynamic. And we haven't come to that trivium yet as a people, as Mark Passio would say. Oh, that reminds me, one great network, I think it's .com or it could be .org, but one great network has Vinny Eastwood, is one of the providers on that network, one of many, and they're all vetted anarchists, and I totally concur with their philosophy, especially the way Mark puts it. But
Without you mentioning that, I will be on the Mark Passio show soon as well.
Oh, sweet, man. I can hardly wait. I've got to check you out on Vinny. You can feel his heart over the airways. He's just so honest. He calls it like he sees it. I mean, I was around when he was busted in Sydney and, New Zealand. And him and his buddy, I forget his name right now, but they both spent time just for protesting the plandemic. He spent some time in the can for that. And I know how it feels. My heart goes out to him. But yeah, getting back to teeth, I had all four of my wisdom teeth pulled around the age of 20, and I went into a dental school to have it done because I didn't have any slave tokens on me. And it was only like $300 to have them all pulled. Well, they did the dirty deed, and I still got sick. I went back to them, and after three more visits and excruciating pain, I mean, I passed out the last time. I almost bit off the so-called dentist's fingers at the time, and I woke up into a room, a small little dentist room filled with people, wide-eyed and wondering what the hell had just gone on. But, man, I was flinging and flailing. But he got that little bone. It was a chunk of bone that they had left in there. And good Lord, that was excruciating. It made me sick, of course. Man, that was...
Well, it's worse for me because the majority of my wisdom teeth are actually already gone. All four of my wisdom teeth are crushed and have been, like, gone. So they have to deal with the roots. The reason why I'm taking care of it now after... in such old age is because, I mean, pain is something, you know, it's just something you go through. And, you know, I'd be in excruciating pain for like a week like once every year. And, you know, I get through that week and I never think about it again. But now they're infected. My blood's infected. I'm having a wide range of secondary health problems from it. And, you know, the doctors are saying, it's life-threatening. So I have to be taken care of now.
I mean, the teeth are connected to everybody else, aren't they? I mean, it's been known for years that they can cause heart attacks and all sorts of ailments. Mine were making me sicker than a dog. I mean, flu-like, sick. And that's what they finally attributed it to. And it was, like you say, most excruciating. And then I was fine afterwards. And then I started getting sick and sick again. And then the dang thing abscessed. And they had to put in shunts to drain the pus. And, oh, good Lord, it was just pathetically brutal what they did to me. And
I just can't. Your teeth were whole. I mean, for the most part, right? When they yanked them out, these people have to dig in my gums and get the roots, the remnants of my wisdom teeth. So So I'm
yeah,
mine not
will go until they pull them out and, you know, let the chunk. They break them is what they do. And then pull out the pieces.
Oh, wow.
So you got to go in and have your gums cut up. And then for them to go in and get the rotting root. Yeah. I haven't seen a dentist in, good Lord, now, oh, probably 20 years. I refuse to see him because the last one was supposed to take out all the amalgam and silver crap. And I lost a molar a couple years ago, and son of a biscuit, that there ain't a line of silver right under, in between the porcelain and the actual tooth. I want to go back there right now and just throttle that son of a biscuit booger butt. Man, it still ticks me off just to think about it. I've got some really bad horror stories. I could spend hours just talking about dentists. Irregardless of the medical mafia bull crap that's going on right now, thanks to the devil Bill Rockefeller.
Well, sure. Why not? So give us some horror stories.
I love you and all of RBN, man. You guys have helped keep me sane for the last 20 years now. Thanks to good old John. Yeah, big bad John. Yeah, that was great. Well, anyways. I've got on every topic you touched on today, as far as the coward cops, the cowardly cops run all over the place. I've been around those MFers for I don't know how long. Well, shit, it started when I was in grade school and they were teaching us how fast 25 miles an hour is. Yeah. I was growed up being a patrol boy, you know, in a stop sign, you know, crossing at school. Yeah, I was tried. They tried to indoctrinate me and almost succeeded. If it almost hadn't been for my mother and father divorcing, I probably would have been a skinhead type critter. But I missed out on that crap, I'm glad to say. Yeah, and I just believe in, I don't believe it. I know it's objective truth. And that's what I'm seeking, is nothing but objective truth and throwing out all that garbage that we've been taught all our lives. And we've been lied to all our lives, right? I mean, about everything.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
The establishment has made sure of that.
Oh, yeah.
But you know what they say, you know, those looking for the truth will usually find it.
Yeah, like I say, lucky for me, I got out of the Institute of Lower Learning. I didn't pass the 10th grade, even though I went to a couple of weeks or months, I forget how long. But it was just too stupid for me after turning on to Mary Jane. Yeah, she drove me what normal people would call insane, but it opened my mind like nobody's business, man. It was true blue and, yeah, really helped me find a different reality. Yeah, but enough about me. Oh. Yeah.
Well, you know, they're actually, I've seen some really cool and really freaky visual effects stuff. There are these guys who make these videos and they simulate what a DMT trip looks like, or what a ayahuasca trip looks like, what a mushroom trip looks like, hallucinations. Mm-hmm. And they have 3D graphic and fractional, you know, graphics happening. It's some of that stuff
separate
is like
realities.
Bizarre. You see the so-called machine elves that Terrence McKenna would talk about. It's actually really, it got me to the point, it's like, well, yeah, I think I'm good. I don't think I want to try any of those things.
Well, and those microdoses that they're doing now, you know, with the mushrooms, they're helping people with all their addictions and ailments and dis-ease, because I think the mushrooms help connect the spirit and the mind. And when you connect the spirit and the mind, you don't focus so much on the body, and the body takes care of itself. And it's going to do whatever it's going to do. Whether you're in disease to a point where you're going to die, well, we all get to die. I mean, that's you know, from our first breath, that's what we were doing. Get over it, right? And that's what really irks me, it's unfathomable to me to realize how many people are so afraid. Afraid of what? What the holy hell of it do you have to be afraid of? Mind controlled, mind dead, mind numb, or programmed. That's the only conclusions I can come to. I'm sure there's more, but because everybody's different. You utilize your fear to get your attention, and then you got to stop it, because if you don't stop it after you know the danger, then you fall into it, and the danger will consume you. That's the mechanism. That's what the mechanism is for. It's not for an indulgence. When you indulge in fear like you indulge in anything else, it's overindulgent, and it's going to cause your early demise. Yeah.
Well, let me tell you when I see the video right of the guy this video, it starts you off, you're just like in like a forest, and it starts. The scenery just slowly starts to morph. You know, flowers become little elf people. Little elf people become little monstrous trolls. And just, it looks so realistic. As, you know, like when you look at like one of those eye illusion posters, you cross your eyes and you can see something else totally different. It's like an experience like that, but it keeps morphing even beyond that, and it's like, you know, this is kind of scary. I'm not a guy who's with the whole fear thing, but that's just something I just don't want to experience. If when I'm too aggressive, I would be swinging at the air trying to kill something that isn't there.
Well, one thing about doing any of those psychedelics, the only advice that I could give on that, and that was firsthand, a buddy of mine gave me 5 hits of blotter, not around 16 or so, and I took one hit, and it didn't do a thing to me. No big deal. I figured I was sick. I got over being sick and took another hit. Still nothing. Then I came back from a fishing trip with my old man, and he really was pushing my buttons, pissed me off no flipping ass end. And I came in the house and I took all 3 hits. And good Lord of gravy, talk about going places, man. I mean, I was depths of hell and back. I remember a moment when I had a noose around my neck with a 13 loops, and that's illegal actually, and I standing on a couple of milk crates, and I don't know to this day why I didn't kick them out. I was teetering and tottering, but yeah, I didn't kick them out. But man, it was, and then I got fed this chicken, and it was superimposed. I mean, like magnifying glass eyes looking inside the arteries and capillaries and all the the way it was all. Oh, it was weird as woohoo. I mean, yeah, we're talking Looney Tunes. But what I see the mushrooms and especially the mushrooms and the marijuana, it opens up the mind and it helps you tune in to different frequencies. And that's all you're doing is just tuning in to different frequencies. There is so many frequencies out there, we can't even begin to fathom them, let alone catalog them. But they're trying, but they're still dying. Yeah,
it's just the idea of, you know, so many dimensions, so many perceptions being layered on top of another, just existing in the same space as other beings that are like me and that are not like me. That's just one of those things, you know. You keep your space, I'll keep mine.
I'm living this experience right now, in this moment, and I'll visit you when I want to. You come visit me, and let's have a good party.
I think I had enough as a kid with my out of body experiences. Actually, I started having them again as an adult a few years ago, and it's like I keep trying to shoot for the moon, but I keep overshooting and headed straight to Mars, and I'm seeing life forms on Mars that have been since dead, but there's psychic resonance is still there, alive and well. You know, I'm seeing all sorts of stuff, different civilizations, just the strangest two-legged monsters.
Hey, man, they're still there. It's happening strange. Right now. We just can't tune into it.
I don't like going to Mars. I want to go to the moon. I can't get there for some reason. But yeah,
you want to go where now? Venus?
I want to go to the moon. Forget Mars. I want to go to the moon.
Oh, just the moon. Yeah.
I want to walk in those crystal structures and those crystal buildings. I want to see the broken domes. That's what I want
to go to Venus myself. I want to be around all those gorgeous Amazonian women.
Remember those sci-fi? That's a different kind of Venus that you're wanting. That's definitely a different kind of Venus.
They'd probably put me in a pot and boil me for whatever.
It's like putting your member in the Venus flytrap.
Oh, yeah. Beautiful plant.
I mean, what a topic. I mean, I've heard the guys talk about the entities, just like the ones that would, they speak a different language, but yet you somehow know what they're saying. And there are scientists that are actually studying this now, like out in the open. I don't know how this is legal for them to have the drugs and to just give them to whoever they deem should be able to take the drugs and study them. I don't know what kind of legal loophole that there is for that, but they're actually challenging the narrative, you know, of these entities by asking them, you know, definitive questions, which you can't get any definitive answers out of these entities. You give them a math equation.
Oh, yeah, they're like politicians, huh?
Yeah, well, yeah. So their hypothesis is that these things are just split up parts of the personality that just normally don't manifest itself, or they're multiple parts of a personality that manifest our current reality, you know, just like pages in a book. So none of these things can have any answers, definitive answers, and it's all introspective. So that's what they're saying. It's just personality fracturing drugs, which makes sense because, you know, the CIA, okay, they dose people with LSD.
Kathy O'Brien, that's the first thing that comes to mind when you're talking that crap. Yeah. I mean, that's what they did, MKUltra, in that whole, oh, man, pathetic. These creatures, I would only call them humans under the legal law dictionary of Ballantyne's, 1898, I believe it was. And it tells you to, it refers you to the word monster when you look up human. And right. That's what these creatures are. I think monster is too nice a verb to call them or whatever. Yeah, they're despicable. I don't want to use any foul language. That wouldn't even be foul enough. Even the worst words I have in my vocabulary wouldn't be foul enough to describe these heinous MFers. Yeah. Yeah, enough of that. Anyway.
Well, I'm glad you shared your experience with me on some of the stuff.
Likewise.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. Maybe one day I might, because I am from two different strong blood shaman bloodlines. So one of these days I might take the deep dive in. Who knows? But until then, I gotta keep a straight face and a straight path in order to complete my task.
For the truth.
You know?
That's all I hunger for anymore, just the truth, because I know that the truth will set me free. That's what I love about Roger Sales. Good Lord, that he's such an eloquent and polite, one of the most politest people I've ever heard. And he really knows his shiitake mushrooms from lion's mane mushroom. Yeah, he really does.
Well, I want to take. We gotta wait and see me take some other kind of mushrooms. But anyways, we gotta get to some other calls here. Thank you for calling in.
Hey, man.
I enjoyed talking to you as usual.
Chatting. Love you all, RBN. Bye bye.
All right. So next up, let's. We totally missed a break. Let's go in and to line 3, New York.
Yeah, this is Frank. Can you hear me okay?
Hey, Frank. Yes, hear you just fine, brother. What's going on? Okay. What do you want to talk about?
All right, guys. Listen, did you hear about the death of Dr. Cass Ingram and Dr. Sinatra?
No.
Are you familiar with either one of them?
Names are not ringing a bell. I may know. I'm not good with names. I don't keep names in my head. There are two things I don't keep in my head: names and numbers. I got to make room for so much more stuff.
Well, it's not a criticism. It's just because you're not familiar with them because on a regular basis, not because of deficiency or anything. But Dr. Cass Ingram was a very popular person in the naturopathic community, as well as Dr. Sinatra. And both of them died within the last month.
Really?
Yeah, and it shocked. I mean, I thought I was going to fall off my chair when I heard about both of them. Now, we had a spate where natural doctors and natural path healers were being just dropping like flies, and we knew that that these guys and gals, by the way, that they were not just killing and suicide them by accident. And what I'm seeing right now, it seems to be like this is spreading, not simply across the country, but across the world. Now, it got to the point where it was so bad, and I think it might have been a precursor to what COVID madness that we just went through. It got to the point where there were so many naturopathic and scientific individuals that it was like 400 or 500 a year. So now, if a person were to, the one guy that was chronicling this was Steve Quayle.
Now, and I know that name.
Excuse me?
I know that name.
Right, and he still has most of them on his website, and you could see and read what happened to these ladies and gentlemen. So I knew what they were doing was nasty, but when Cass Ingram, who was I think he might have been from Iran. And then Dr. Sinatra, who was an American person, just a few weeks ago, he passed on. And we've got to, boy, do we really, really have to take time and get our stuff together, get our S together? Because if we don't, then we're really lost. We've really lost the battle. Dr. Sinatra was considered America's naturopathic pop heart, heart specialist. Very, very innovative therapies and so forth. But he's gone. Wow. And Dr. Ingram, of course, is... he was famous for Europe. One of the things was European oregano oil. He was a very strong proponent of that. So boy, we've got a we're in trouble here, as, among other places.
Well, it's just the journalist and the whistleblower doctors out there, you know, being found dead in the trunk of their cars, or, you know, laying face down in their swimming pools, or just missing altogether. Yeah. The homeopathic doctors, they're definitely on the hit list of the undesirables that the government does not want around. For sure.
In the case of... about 6 years ago, there was a Dr. Alan Freshman. He was a naturopath in New York. Now, in his case, we didn't suspect anything because he went through a surgical procedure with a conventional doctor physician, but yet. During his sleep cycle, the stitches broke and he bled to death. Now, technically, that could be considered an accident, quote unquote. Even as horrible as it was, an accident. But these two latest fatalities, something's wrong here, and it seems as if. When you go to a doctor for a medical procedure or hospital for a medical procedure, you're going to have to take your life insurance, your everything with you. Make sure that if you don't make it out alive, that at least your relatives know what to do beyond that, beyond your death. And I don't know how it is in Europe at this point, but right now we're really in trouble here.
Well, see, this is what I call the contingency plan. You want to make it to where these people would rather have you alive than dead. You know, that contingency plan. Okay, let's say my widow, she gets $50,000, and there's another $50,000 for her to print up a bunch of flyers to pass out all around the world. $50,000 can print up a lot of flyers. And they could just have the world secrets on it, whistleblower secrets. And you could just end up causing a mass awakening. You know, that's like one of those things. You know, leak information. If something happens to me upon my death, this information is to be leaked here. My Easter eggs are here. You know, you leave it with trusted people. And that's what I call the contingency plan. You want these people where they want you alive, because you're not going to make it as far as if you were dead, if you were martyred, and you have money behind your movement. So that's the insurance policy. It's always great to have that insurance policy. A lot of these people that get into this dangerous activity of exposing the government, they have no backup plan. They usually don't have anybody, you know, with them, supporting them. So, but in case you do, yeah, get that insurance. Get that will. Make sure you have that thing filled out.
Well, I think on a practical level, I think you're absolutely right about that. It's just that who wants to sit down? It's hard to sit down and think about that, even though it is as necessary as it is. And not only that, who do we go to? Which doctor do we go to? Or which medical facility do we go to talk about how they behave? But we sit in that operating table.
Well, when you sit on that operating table, what you're going to have is a medical witness, something called a medical witness, and this person that you put on your medical forms, your insurance, they're paid to be there to witness your whatever procedure, make sure that it gets done right. And if you really want to go hardcore about it, bring in a bodyguard and introduce bodyguard to the doctor. Say, something happens to me, guess what? This guy's going to take care of you.
Yeah, yeah.
If you want to go mobster it. Yeah.
Well, did you see, I'm not sure if I mentioned it to you in a prior program, but did you, do you remember when the BBC, God bless them, when they did an expose with video, not it wasn't something that they made up, of Indian parents climbing up the side of the building, giving the cheat sheets, the answers to their children who are going to medical school. Did I send you that, or did we talk about that before? You
remember? No, we didn't talk about that. No.
Well, it's still on the BBC's website. I checked it the other day. But what happened was, imagine this now. You got a couple of hundred parents who are scaling and climbing up the side of a building of where the tests are taken for medical school, and they're giving them the answers on cheat sheets. It's the most bizarre thing you'd ever want to imagine. And the medical school, one of the chancellors of the medical school said that he had investigated into 500 students who passed the test on paper, but who actually failed it in reality.
That's like, you know, how many people just love going to their Indian doctor thinking that they're going to get the secret answer from Eastern medicine, and they're so much smarter than everybody else, and then they just end up with a fraud.
Well, yeah, absolutely right. And I've met Indians who are very nice people as a nation, as a national culture, but they cheat. It's a lot of fraud and deception going on in the academic community in India. And they are going to know what it takes. They're going to pass that exam to be able to come here to become a doctor. And if they're not making $250,000 as a doctor, they're going to get pissed off.
Yeah.
So America, you know, God, boy, I'm telling you, America is, I think America's toast, man.
Well, I'm not liking a lot of stuff that's coming out of India right now. They got a lot of, all the scammers, right? The phone scammers, the majority of them are there. Governments won't do anything about it.
Yeah.
With all the money that they're sucking in, you'd think they'd install some public bathrooms in their cities, you know, where everybody's not crapping everywhere. And same thing with China. Good Lord. Use a toilet. You can't find a freaking toilet, make one. You know, wear a freaking diaper for all I care.
It's not a cultural norm, so that's why this, in both countries, it's not being done.
Yeah, I know that. In some Arab countries, some people are so poor, you know, that's why you shake with your right hand, because they wipe the crap from their body, from their behind with their left hand.
Yeah.
And to me, that's just... You know, forget shaking your right hand. I don't want to be around you. I don't want to touch you, period.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
And so, and that's just maybe, you know, my Western biased and preconceived notion of, you know, what's right and what's wrong. I mean, I can't truly judge. I mean, but still, it's I don't know. It's a modern day and era. Can we? I wish we could get rid of toilet paper. Can we just go back to using rags and people just washing the rags like they used to? You know,
well,
baby diapers.
No, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, I'm just saying, there's a lot of environmental waste. There's a lot of good stuff we could be doing with some of this stuff. We're talking about shortage of fertilizer. Shortage of fertilizer. There are 7.4 billion people on this planet that take a crap every day. You think one day of dumpage, we could fertilize all the farms that we have in the world? You would think, right?
Yeah.
We're so sloppy with our resources. I think our resources are of more value when we utilize them correctly and efficiently.
Well, don't worry, because Bill Gates to the rescue is going to be talking about disposable
waterless toilet.
not only bizarre breast milk, but Franken food for your dinner table. So
yeah, the dirt burgers. He wants us to eat dirt burgers.
And maggot salads. So that's coming too. That's
yeah.
Coming down.
Yeah, humans get used to eating insects. Yeah, they've been pushing that agenda too. I'm sorry, I'm just not thrilled about that idea. It took me a long time to get used to the idea of eating seafood as, you know, a young kid. Like, you know, shrimp, aren't those just freaking cockroaches of the sea? Crabs, aren't those just spiders of the sea? I did not like insects.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that, because it wasn't until about 3 or 4 years ago that I stopped eating shrimp, especially when I started realizing how they were, the scavengers on the ocean floor.
They are
so
scavengers.
No more.
Yes.
No, I stopped it then.
Bottom feeders, yes.
And what is the other seafood that does the same thing? Is it lobsters?
Lobsters, yes, do the same thing.
Oh,
crabs
God.
Sometimes do the same thing.
Okay.
So, crustaceans, that's why I say shellfish.
Any shellfish. Okay, got it.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Okay. Which is
weird now because I love all seafood now. I as an adult, clams, mussels, shrimp, lobster, crab,
what's
squid.
What
I love
seafood
squid.
Is good to eat. What
I'm sorry, say again?
What seafood is good to eat if you're going to do that?
Well, I mean, that's up to the individual. Like, for example, I won't eat fish, not because I don't like fish. I have a thing with the bones.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a fast eater. I used to be a slow eater, and that was never a problem for me. But after being in the military, you know, when you have literally 25 to 30 seconds to eat after you sat down, it's like I was dying the first week. I'm telling you, I'm slow eater. Just as soon as I sit down, you know, and especially when you're tired, you end up being the last person in line. You want to be the first person in line in your platoon because you might get a solid, you know, 2 to 5 minutes to eat. But if you're anywhere near middle to that half, to the last person in line, before you're even sitting down, sergeant's telling everybody to get up. So you're sitting down just to eat for 30 seconds to get up and throw away your tray. So I became a fast eater. And because now I'm a fast eater, I can't eat fish because I'll get this little bone stuck in my throat.
Yeah, yeah.
I had a bone stuck in my throat for like 6 weeks one time. It was hell. I didn't know if it was going to seep further into me and kill me from it stabbing me or if I was going to swallow it. It eventually just dissolved. But I said I would never go through that again. So I don't eat fish that isn't processed.
So in other words, a cod is probably okay for you, right? Codfish?
Well, like I say, I'll eat fish if it's processed. Fish sticks, okay. Tuna, like in a can, if it's processed, where it's guaranteed no bones, I'll eat it.
Yeah. By the way, do you eat a beaver butt?
No. We don't eat beaver butt. No vanilla.
I think I mentioned to you about that, right?
Yeah, I've known about that for a long time. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. There you go. Tell all those folks who eat ice cream, stay away from beaver butt.
Yeah, I mean, those poor beavers, you know, that gland has to be taken out of their buttholes. Okay, is your ice cream that important? We got to mess with the poor beavers?
Well,
come on.
The folks who look, they do the same thing to calamari. Was it squid calamari?
Yes.
Which it looks the same, and it's for those who eat it, it supposedly tastes the same. So God knows. Lord have mercy. Grandma told me stay away from that stuff, and she was right.
Yeah, I like a good squid, especially, you know, live. Yeah, I don't know. I've gotten some weird taste, especially coming here to Poland. I love duck. I love goose now. I love rabbit. I love veal. Yeah, I know. Boo! He's a veal eater. Yeah, well, I mean, it's not my fault. It's gifted to me a lot of times. Just pounds and pounds of it. Yeah, what they say is true. It's extremely soft. So,
Well, we do the best we can because when shortages come in, we're going to have to do something anyway, something different anyway.
Well, all right, I hope I don't have to give up my rabbit and my veal.
Well, you might have to if if Bill Gates has his way, your animals will disappear.
Well, and they're going to be locked in zones, the non-human zones, where we're all in the megacities. Yeah. Well, I mean, they're getting us ready. And technically speaking, if we can get into, like, megacities and dome them, that might actually be a good thing for the continued existence of mankind. Let's say a meteor hits the Earth. Well, if we have domed cities, or we go into nuclear warfare, we have domed cities, some of us might survive.
Well, he'll survive. Maybe not his conscience, but he and like of his ilk, they'll survive. But what we might not survive is the disappearance of those things that we use to sustain in life now.
It's possible, yeah. And, you know, commodities, normal commodities like just breathing air, normal air, you know, we're going to have, you know, shipments and trading between cities because the environment's completely screwed. You know, these are possibilities. There are always good things about this sort of stuff, but at the same time, there are the negative sides. Okay, well, what if this city rebels and, you know, they can just hit a button, you know, gas fills up the entire dome city, you know, kill everybody,
ship in
new people who want to be compliant. You know, you never know. It's just so much to this stuff, you know. So we just have to. People are so worried about guns, guns, guns. No, it's not the guns that are killing people. It's people that are killing people. So if you people are worried about the technology, I wouldn't worry about the technology. Worry about the people running the technology.
Yeah.
But anyways, Frank, we have run out of time for
show.
Thank you for calling in. Yeah, it goes by fast. Thank you, sir.
Okay, guys, brother, yes. Thank you. I appreciate talking to you.
It's always a pleasure. Yes, guys, this has been another episode of the Red Pill Hardcore Radio Show. I'm your host, V. And remember, in the land of surveillance, the man with third eye is king. Educate yourselves.
Red Pill Hardcore. Keep it real. Take a red pill.
Say hello to my little friend.
Conan, what is best in life? Crush your enemies, see them driven before you, and hear the lamentation of your women. That is good.
Tune in next time to Red Pill Hardcore. Keep it real. Take the red pill.
True winner.
And I get the green light from Mom.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase...
Boy Who Cried Wolf said, "What?" I'm Peter Serafine with today's Liberty Minute. The Biden administration has declared monkeypox a public health emergency. Yes, 5 children and a pregnant woman have monkeypox, but 98% of cases are men who have sex with men, and only 5 people in the world have died from the disease. And all of that is beside my point. By declaring a public health emergency, federal money, your tax dollars, is now up for grabs again. We are a nation that is supposed to be essentially 50 sovereign states. The federal government declaring an emergency every time you turn on the news erodes that sovereignty. Federal money, your tax dollars, have become nothing more than a carrot dangled in front of the state's budget committees. Find more news and commentary at liberty-lighthouse.com. Until tomorrow, Sivis Pashem, Parabellum.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.